Good morning. Have you ever had one of those weeks where you could just see God working in every moment of the week, and the way your week ends is not how you anticipated it when you began? I mean, for instance, I shouldn't be here in front of you this morning. This was supposed to be Marty's time, but the results of this week is me standing in front of you today, and so. I want to share some of the things that have happened with me this week, and it all started 1 week ago today. I was staying up here speaking, and there was 370 teens in this room, and the singing was beautiful, and there was beautiful fellowship, and everyone had a fantastic time. We had so many of our members who worked so hard to make that night the special night that it was. And so it was just beautiful seeing teens from all over the Oklahoma City metro who came here to share in that time of worship and fellowship together. So anyway, that evening, as everyone was starting to go home, I was staying out by the basketball courts, and Becky Hunter came up to me. And she didn't know, but she was changing my week this week. But she said, "Hey, we fed everyone, and there's a lot of food that was left over. We've set everything out on a table, and I was wondering if you could find a place to donate it all to." And I said, "Well, sure, I would love to do that." And so Monday morning, I came in, and what I saw back there is not what I was expecting, because apparently after the fellowship room was all cleaned up, they were done feeding everybody, they took all the food and they set it on a table. But being the good servants that they are, they saw a bunch of other food that was laying around. We've been very busy over the last month or so, and so different things going on. There's a little bit left over here, a little bit left over there. And so all those pieces were taken and set on the tables. So Monday morning when I came in, there was three or four tables full of food back there that I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go find a place for this to go. And so that's how my week started. First of all, I want to thank you guys for overwhelmingly taking care of and feeding all those kids last week, because you all worked so hard to make that happen, both in bringing food in and all those who worked to get that room set up and get everything, all the bags packed and all the work that went into that, grilling hot dogs and everything that we did. You did such a great job, and it shows your heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning is the heart. And so I guess I'll go through my slides too. So that was that's what was happening this last Sunday night. And so the sight of all that food had an effect on me, though. And so I've been thinking a lot about giving this week, and because we have been blessed, and this congregation has shown time and time again how generous you can be. And you're generous with the things that we have, and that generosity was on full display last week, and I thank you for that. And so at the end of Hebrews, the writer is wrapping up his letter, and he is telling the Hebrews ways that God's people can care for others. And he's making the point that the sacrifices that we make are pleasing to God. And that's why we do these things, because they please God. And so, as it was just read, Hebrews 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So we please God by sharing the things that we have. So you gave money and time and purchased food and cooked food and did a bunch of work to prepare a meal for teenagers. And when we were done feeding them, we were left with an abundance. We had an overabundance. And then I got the opportunity to take that abundance and to offer it to some people who needed it. And so sharing what we have is a sentiment that is repeated throughout all the pages of God's Word, from Old Testament, New Testament. Sharing, God's people expects God expects his people to share what they have. And so we get instructions to share with the poor. We get instructions to share with those in need. We get instructions to share with widows and orphans. We get instructions how to share with travelers. We get instructions how to share with the priest in the Old Testament, the Levitical priest. There were provisions to allow them to have food. And so, we even see this in the Gospels. In fact, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus used the actions of someone the Jews despised to teach what the real meaning of love your neighbor is all about. And so as followers of Christ, we give to those who do not have. We support those who are going through hard times. And that's who we are. That defines us as a follower of Christ. And so the thing is there's a lot of people who are going through tough times right now. You know, we're dealing with a situation right now where people have depended on a source for food, and that source is not there right now. And there's a lot of people who are struggling and suffering, and so that's what kind of led me on the road to what I've experienced this week. So Monday, I worked to find a place to take all that food to, and so I was pointed to a nonprofit organization right here in Choctaw, which I didn't know that they existed, okay? Eastern Oklahoma County Resource Center. I put their logo up here so I wouldn't forget how to say it because it's a mouthful, okay? But the Resource Center, I got the number of the director, and I called Carol up, and I had a conversation with her, and she was like, yeah. She asked me what we had, and I started listening to it. She goes, yeah, we can use all that. Just bring it here. And so Marty, Hal, and I, we loaded up all that food into the church van, and I drove it over to the Resource Center. By the way, if you're not familiar with it, if you've never heard of it, I'm not surprised. I've talked to a lot of people this week, and most of them haven't heard of it. But they just a year or two ago, built a new building there over behind the El Tapatios, I think that's what it's called, that Mexican restaurant. Los Tapatios, yeah, Los Tapatios. So they're back there. And so anyway, I drove all this food over there. And when I got there, Carol was super friendly, and she starts leading me on a tour of this facility. And she's showing me all the ways they're helping. And there is commotion everywhere because one of the resources they provide is a food distribution every Tuesday and Thursday. And so on Monday when I was there, Oklahoma Food Bank had just dropped off a semi-truck of food. And so there were volunteers all over the place unloading pallets and putting all this stuff on their shelves. And so there was just people all over the place. But this is a very impressive facility. What they have done is taken the Lord's command to feed the hungry, and they've taken it to heart, and they live it out daily. Those volunteers are there regularly, working to make sure that people in this area have the food that they need to be able to survive. And so when I got there, I was just impressed by the layout of the facility, how it was organized, the organization of Carol and the volunteers. They were just doing such a great job over there. These things have caused me to really think about our role and we give. I'm not saying we don't, but it's been on my mind a lot. And so I'm going to give you an example of what I was thinking about. So Friday night, I drive the school bus to take the band to their various activities. Their competitions and the football games. And so Friday night we were driving, I was driving the bus to Ardmore, and so we were on our way back from Ardmore, one of Carson's band instructors, Mr. Vaughn, was riding in there with me. And so it was dark, and I'm driving back, and I was trying to think in my mind about this sermon because I had just found out that I was going to be doing the sermon on Thursday. And so Friday, I'm still writing. I'm writing in my head and trying to think about these things. And so I asked Mr. Vaughn, I said, can you read to me this passage that I'm getting ready to read to you? And so he read it, and because I wanted to have it fresh in my mind. I'd read it before, and I was just trying to make sure I had all the pieces together. But that him reading that to me sparked a conversation, and we probably talked for about a half hour, 40 minutes or so, about giving and our role. And that really helped me to cement some things that I was thinking this morning. And I bring him up. It's not in my notes, but I bring him up because Bailey Vaughn brought his wife, Lisa, and they're sitting back there because that conversation inspired him to, because when we discuss these things and we talk about giving, and so that means a lot to me. So thank you for being here today. Thank you. The reason why I brought that up was not to embarrass them or anything, but I want us to understand that when we talk about these things, it impacts people. It has an impact on people's lives and their hearts. And so those are the things that were going through my mind. And so, I've been looking at a lot of different passages, but the passage that I had, Bailey read to me, that last Friday night, as in Deuteronomy 15. And so I had him read 7 through 11. And so we're going to go through each of those, but I'm going to take them piece by piece. So go ahead and open to Deuteronomy 15. And I'm just going to read verses 7 and 8 right now. Oh, there's a picture that I didn't show you earlier. And there's the verse. Okay. So it says, "If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and let him and lend him sufficient to his need, whatever it may be." So this passage starts out identifying the one who is poor as one of your brothers. So in this immediate text, God is referring to one of their fellow Israelites. But if we look at all of Scripture, it's clear that God's attitude here the command that he's giving towards this poor brother is the same attitude that he has for anybody. Because we know from other places in Scripture that he has this exact same attitude for anyone who is poor, no matter what tribe they belong to, okay? So as we're going through this, keep that in mind. This is God's attitude for everybody, because God wants his people to help anyone who is in need. And so how does it say we should treat the poor? First of all, it says, don't harden your heart. So we should care for them, right? But what it's saying, we should open our heart and be caring to them. It says, don't shut your hand against them. What is shutting your hand saying? Saying, no, I'm holding on to what I have. You get none of it because it's mine. So we're not closing our hands to them. It says to open your hands. It says open your hands and give. Give generously. We don't refuse them. And so it says lend to him what he needs, whatever it is. You're not holding anything back. If he needs something, you give it. So someone may look at this passage and fixate on the word lend. So it says, they think that maybe God is saying that he doesn't expect us to give it to him, that we should expect to get it back. But if we go on to verse 9, we'll understand that that's precisely not what he's saying, okay? So he's saying, have an open hand. These pictures, I keep forgetting to show them to you. They're really good pictures, right? Anyway, hold your hand out. Okay. So verse 9, though, reads this. It reads like this. It says, "Take care, lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, the seventh year, the year of release, is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and give him nothing, and he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin." So the seventh year here is referring to the Sabbath year. That's introduced in Exodus 23:10, and then it's expanded on in Leviticus 25. And so there's a couple things that go on during this Sabbath year. So God is telling Israel that after they enter Canaan, that they're going to be able to plant fields, and they're going to be able to plant fields and eat off the yield of that for 6 years. But on that seventh year, they're going to not plant. They're going to allow what the scriptures call a rest year, rest for the land. which I think is beautiful. So the land needs to rest. And so during that year, they're not going to plant. They're going to allow the land to lay fallow. And whatever does grow during that year, they aren't to touch it. They're to leave it. And then that is going to be left for their slaves, their hired workers, and for those who are traveling. Okay, so God is always making provisions in his law to provide for those who are in need. Okay, he's always making instructions for us to give to those who are in need. Another thing that happens, though, during this Sabbath year is that any debts that have occurred over the last 6 years are to be forgiven. They're no more. And so verse 9, God is telling Moses that those who are lending should not try to take advantage of those who are asking for assistance. Because what the idea here is that if it's almost the end of the sixth year and someone comes asking for money, you normally would have given him something and lent him something, but you're like, oh, wait. Next month is the new year, and that's the seventh year, so his debt will be forgiven, so I'll lose everything. So, no, I can't give you anything right now. He's saying, don't do that. If you do that, that's sinful. You're holding back what you would normally give him. And so he's saying, don't allow the fact that debt is going to be forgiven very soon stop you from giving, to still give. I almost skipped some. That's why I was like, that doesn't make sense what I'm reading right now. And so that leads us into verses 10 and 11. Okay, so really listen to verses 10 and 11, because here God is going to reveal the proper attitude that we should have when we give. Okay, so verse 10 and 11. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. I thank God every day for giving us this church, because we love each other. You guys have shown that time and time again, how we support each other and show the love of God in this world. A year ago, you guys showed that in a big, profound way. Last year at our area wide, we didn't get to have it because we had a tornado come through here and devastate this area. And this congregation, along with others, stepped up big time. You guys opened your hands to this community with open, wide hands. You served the victims of those tornadoes. You distributed food and supplies. You cleared land. You unloaded your own semi truck, okay, full of supplies, and we worked to make a difference in this community. If you can believe it, 3 weeks from now will be my 1 year anniversary of coming to work at this congregation, and it's been a beautiful year. I've loved every minute of it. And so one of my goals this year was to help this congregation to have a more positive influence in the community that's around us. And so I've been looking for opportunities to affect the people in Choctaw in a meaningful way. And one of those opportunities fell into my lap this week. And so this is what I'm bringing to you today. And so I hope you will allow me to tell you about a program that I learned about, and I would love your assistance in helping me give to this program. So after Carol finished her tour of the Resource Center and those amazing facilities, she began to share other resources and programs that they do at the Resource Center. And one of them right now is going on, and there's a big need in that program right now. So every year the center coordinates a gift-giving program that they call the giving season. So the giving season is where they collect gifts and they distribute them to other people in this area. Now that's not unusual, right? There's a lot of different ways that we can give gifts, but the way they have this program structured, I've not seen before, and I'm very impressed by it. So that's why I'm bringing it to you right now. Because this year, there's more need in this program than ever before. Last year was one of their the biggest year they had, and they had about 70 people who were requesting assistance during Christmas time. And this year, that number is already well over 100, and they're still bringing people in. And so they're still it's still flooding in right now. And so this, I want you guys to know, first of all, this is a completely local work. The service center only supports people who are in eastern Oklahoma County, and they do it by school district, so that it serves the school districts of Choctaw, Nakoma Park, Hera, Luther, Jones, and McLeod. So that everyone who gets assistance there are very close to us and in our community. And so I'm excited for the chance to work with the Resource Center in this gift-giving program, because through this effort, I think that we have an opportunity to reach out to those in our community who are struggling. So this morning, I hope you'll allow me to talk to you about three ways that we're going to be able to help people in this community. And so, and the first way has nothing to do with the Resource Center. Because the first way you can help is I'm proud to announce that we are bringing back the brown bag collection program that we've done forever. Last year it wasn't able to happen, but it's coming back full force now, and they are very excited. Lloyd and Judy Smith and Preston and Dina Jenkins are organizing this program this year, and they're doing a fantastic job. And so this morning, those food lists are going to be available at the information desk. And so for those of you who are not familiar with this program, there is this sheet here, you see a checklist of food. And so the idea is you pick up one of these lists, you get everything on that list, you put it in a brown bag, you put this list in there so that they know you got everything on the list. Now, they also know that it's not possible for some people to get everything on the list. So they're not expecting every person who takes a paper to get everything on the list. They're just asking you to go buy as much as you can, put everything in the brown bag, check off the items that you did get, set them in the bag, and then all bags, we'll just bring them up here, and we'll set them up here in front of everybody so we know how many bags we have filled. And so we're going to continue that, and we're asking all those donations to be here by December 7th. So that's something we can start on immediately. And then this year, we're also going to try to work in conjunction with the Brown Bag Program to serve even more people who are in need. Because we, in the past, we've had a lot of food bags, but we're able to find people in need. But we found people in need now. And so we're going to be able to get this food to them. And so I'm going to present this program, but I want to let you know ahead of time that we are getting into this very late in the game. And so we have some deadlines that are coming up very quickly. And so if you are able to help, we have to kind of act quick. Okay. So the service center really appreciates our help, but they do have some pretty hard deadlines that we need to, and I'll make you aware of those as we go through this. So the first way that you can help is to donate gifts. And so you can see from this list that the gifts are categorized by age and gender. And so there are printouts of this sheet back there at the information desk, and you can go and grab one of those. And so add these to your Walmart list or whatever, and pick up some of these items. If you don't want to try shopping for these items and you just want to give me money, I'll go shopping for you. I don't mind doing that at all. So feel free to purchase whatever you can on this list, and then we'll have a collection point here on a table back here in the foyer that you can put those on. And so the deadline to receive these, to get these gifts into the service center, is December 1st. Okay, so the day before is a Sunday, so on November 30th, I'm asking you guys to have whatever donations you can make to have them here so that I can take them over to the service center. And they're going to take those gifts, and I'll tell you what they're going to do with those. So the second way you can help is by being a host family, okay? So the host families, are the part of the program that I'm really excited about. Okay, so there are a lot of places that collect gifts and distribute them to families in need, but I've never seen one set up like this, and I think it's very exciting because the host family is responsible for making contact and connecting with their what they call their Christmas guest. Okay, so you're going to receive a sheet with the person requesting help with their name and you know their contact information, and I think it'll list their kids, but that's about it. The idea is that as a host family, you call them, you have a conversation with them, you say, hey, I noticed you have an 8-year-old boy named Johnny. What is Johnny like? And you get to know them and you talk to them and you build a relationship with them. They said that there are some host families who have had the same receiving family for several years because they've developed such a great relationship with them. And so they do this because the idea is after you've built a relationship, the ultimate goal is to invite them to church. We want to build enough relationship with them that we can impact their not just their Christmas, but we can affect their eternity. And I just love that part of this program, and it completely changes our outlook towards it. And so so they want every one of these families to get more than presents. They want them to know God, and I think that's a beautiful thing. So the host family has the opportunity to make a huge impact on our community. This is how we can make a huge impact on our community, because there's more than 100 families in this immediate area who are going to be contacted by someone in this program, and whoever contacts them is going to have an opportunity to affect their life. And so on Friday, I was told that there were still 25 to 30 families who didn't have a host family. And I would love it if every single one of them could be contacted by us. I hope that we can affect that many people. But I mean, we're just getting started in this, so I'm not expecting to shoot for the moon, but I want to affect as many lives as we possibly can. But if you're a host family, there's two dates that you need to. I don't know if I'm running long or not, but this is important, so I'm going to keep going. If there's two dates that you need to be aware of, November. The first date is either November 11th or November 18th. Those are Tuesday nights. And so they are having a host family an information meeting. And so it's a come and go meeting from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And so you would need to go on one of those nights to get the information. And that's also where you would receive the information for the person you're going to be hosting. And then the second one is December 5th. Okay, and that's that when you do your gift pickup. So all the donated items are brought to a central location. They're broken up between these categories that we saw before. And so you have made contact with the family that you're getting gifts for. And so the host goes to this place where all the presents are laid out. And you go and get the presents for your family. You put them in a black trash bag, and then after that, you go over to the service center and you get a bunch of food that you're going to take to them with their gift bag, and then you just hand them the bag, you hand them their food, and you say Merry Christmas, and that's your opportunity to meet them, to be able to talk to them, and so I tell you all this because the host family has no direct obligation financially. So if you can't support it financially, you can support the program by being a host family. Now, there's nothing saying that we can't give more. Like if you're a host family and you say, okay, Johnny likes Spider-Man, but there was no Spider-Man on the table, so I'm going to go buy him something Spider-Man. Okay, you can always supplement, but they ask that you get the items that were donated first because those items were donated for the purpose of going to these families. So go and get those things, but then supplement. And so we can supplement in that way, but we can also supplement with our brown bags, right? And so this is how the brown bag program works into it, because we're going to also, I've already talked to Preston and Judy, and they are both on board with us using these brown bags to supplement the food that we are going to give these families. And so anyway, that's it in a nutshell. If you have any questions, come talk to me. I know there's a lot I'm trying to throw out at you all at once. But so if you would like to be a host family, there is a sign-up sheet on the website already. So you can go on the website and sign up. And if you sign up, I'll contact you. Or if you have questions, come to me and we'll take care of these things. So I thank you for giving me the time to tell you about this program. This wasn't this long of a sermon, but then my heart got going. So I apologize for that. Or I don't apologize. It was God. God is being blessed by this and what we're doing through this. And so I hope you recognize that. Thank you. So I hope you'll consider helping us. But with all of that being said, what I think we've learned here today is that God's people are amazing people, and it is so. I'm so proud to be a part of this congregation, to be a part of the church that God has established, that Jesus gave his life for. And there's so many blessings that we get by being a part of this body, by a part of these people. And so if you all know that we have a heart to love you and to support you. So if you're struggling with something, if there's some way that we can serve you, we want to serve you. Also, we want to serve you. You know, I'm not going to say above anybody else, but you're my first priority. You're my brother. You're my sister. And if you're struggling, I want to love on you. I want to hug you. I want to cry with you. I want to support you. And so we're getting ready to have an invitation. So if that is something that you need, come down and I would love to pray with you and listen to you. If you want to be a part of this, be a follower of Christ and commit your life to him, and you're ready to be baptized, Sarah, thank you. I almost said it too. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have tried to say it. What am I? Sarah, as Sarah did last week, please come down as we stand and sing.